is your Monday morning wake-up call, the podcast designed to help people wake up to the possibilities that surround them every day and become the person they're meant to be in Jesus Christ. I was talking to one of my friends down in Southwest Louisiana last week. He phoned me just to talk. Sometimes you'd need a friend just to talk it out. I mean, it's not that you need someone to tell you some revelation that you didn't already have. Sometimes it's just you need someone to talk. You don't need a pep talk or some superficial slogan. Well, I hope you have someone that you can talk to. And I hope you are one of those kind of people that can talk to other people. I have a few people like that. I can talk to them, and I'm thankful that I can, from time to time, be that person for someone else. My friend's been over 3 weeks without electricity as a result of the hurricane that devastated that part of Louisiana. He's a very gifted kind of guy in being able to do, well, just about anything of a mechanical nature. So that makes him pretty much the opposite of me. He's one of those rare individuals who's willing to help just about anybody in need. So he's not only knowledgeable, but he's also one who wants to help other people. I mean, you know people that can get stuff done, and I do too, but they're not going to ever help you or anyone unless they're just like closest family or something. Well, this friend is not like that. He's willing to help all kinds of people. And I watched him do that years ago when we went on a mission trip together to help some people in Honduras after a hurricane had hit there. I mainly preached, but well, he was actually able to put stuff together, you know. But because he's that kind of person, has a big heart, and he's knowledgeable, he is drained because everybody's wanted him to help, and it just never stops. And at this time, or at least when I talked to him last week, he still couldn't see light at the end of the tunnel. He's tired out. He's emotionally and physically and spiritually discouraged, drained, all of those things. I wonder, maybe you're feeling like that today. Maybe it's just not working out for you, and you're tired or afraid, maybe drained. And perhaps it's because you're trying to do the right thing. You aren't perfect, but you're giving out and giving out and giving out, and you haven't replenished. Maybe you feel kind of like my friend. Well, I just mainly listened, and that can be helpful in itself. I couldn't say I've got a vision for you. It's all going to be okay in 2 days or 5 days or 27 hours, and that's not what he needed to hear anyway. I don't pretend to know everything, not even most of it, but I do know that in all that we go through, we can listen and we can point others, including ourselves, to our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think of Jesus, who had no one to turn to. No one could understand what he was going through. He couldn't talk to someone who could say, you know, Jesus, I know what you're going through. I've been there. Because, you see, no one had been where Jesus was. He was the Son of God who experienced the eternal conflict. All that Satan ever had to throw, he threw at Jesus. And he experienced that on the cross, and he was alone. He couldn't talk it out. So what did he do? And it's really interesting what he did because it points to something we can do when we are down and discouraged and drained and no one to turn to, really. He looked to where he was going. That's what Jesus did. He looked to the finish line and then beyond. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 gives us the hint. Wherefore, seeing that we are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every word and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Okay, there's the good word for us. But then verse 2, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, now that's a directive to us, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That word joy in Greek that I just read has a definite article, the, not just joy general, but the joy, which means this wasn't joy in general, but a specific joy. So what was it? Well, the verse goes on to describe that joyous finish line that Jesus had previously set his face like flint toward, the joy that was set before him as he endured the cross and despised the shame. What did he do? Well, it says Jesus literally fixed his eyes on the empty throne at the right hand of the Father that was reserved for him once the victory was complete. So upon that throne, all the enemies, his enemies, would be, that would be his footstool. And he would begin the next phase or part of his eternal priestly ministry, and that would be to intercede for everyone who would ever come to him. I like the way Eugene Peterson, in his paraphrase of this passage called The Message, puts it. Many of you are familiar with it, or with that translation, or rather paraphrase. Hebrews 12:1-2, he says, "Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God." Verse 3, when you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through. That will shoot adrenaline into your souls. Now, that's the end of that paraphrase for that particular passage, but I like that. See, Jesus had his eyes, his heart, his mind, his whole being fixed on that highly exalted place. That was the joy that was set before him. So when sin and hell were defeated and Jesus was resurrected, that was the seat of authority he ascended into heaven to occupy. And ever since that time, from that highly exalted position, Jesus has been serving the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our intercessor right now, today. So what's the goal in front of you that keeps you motivated to move ahead even when things are difficult? Look to Jesus, the author and finisher, and then look to what Jesus looked to. The end result, we're going to be in heaven with him, and we're going to be serving and rejoicing in him. There's a song by Mercy Me that I really like. It's called Almost Home. So listen to these words. Are you disappointed? Are you desperate for help? You know what it's like to be tired and only a shell of yourself? Well, you start to believe you don't have what it takes, because it's all you can do just to move, much less finish the race. But don't forget what lies ahead. Almost home, brother. It won't be long. Soon all your burdens will be gone. With all your strength, sister, run wild, run free, hold up your head, keep pressing on. We are almost home. We're almost home. Stay faithful this week. You may be under the burden. Well, you don't have to be. Come alongside Jesus and he'll take your burden. We're almost home. Live for him. Look to the cross and beyond the cross to what's going to happen, what's going to be. And then come back here next week. In the meantime, go out there and be the person God created you to be. Here comes the sun. Here comes.